In her beautiful sermon last Sunday, Amelia McDaniel reminded us that the time in which we live is sacred, which means that God's hands are upon it, and that God's own Spirit leads the times of our going forth and for our coming home again. Now, of course, the ticking of the clock also leads us forth and brings us home, because there are children to get up and get fed and get off to school, and we have work to go to and meetings to make, but we do live lives upon which God is writing the life of his Son, Christ the Lord, through the times of our lives, times of being lost and times of being found, times of healing and being healed, times of darkness and times of the light of revelation. God's redeeming love is woven all through the living of our days as we are given eyes to see and ears to hear. And today is the beginning of the season of Advent, the first season of the brand new church year. The word Advent, of course, means coming, which directs us to shake off any sleepy-headedness and turn and face the future with a holy hope for the Lord's own coming into our lives. We are people called to be alive and awake with hope in this sacred time we have been given, and not to fall asleep. The readings from the Bible for this morning couldn't be clearer. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Rome, says, "You know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep." In the Gospel reading, Jesus' jarring images, a flood, a kidnapper, a thief, sharpen the same point. Stay awake, for the Lord is coming. I've been wondering what it means to be asleep in the sense these readings are cautioning us against. And in part, I think it must mean the hope for what is coming in this next moment for us, next year, next lifetime, that hope has been worn down by just how hard this old world can be sometimes. Life can be hard, and can make us hard, and we fall asleep. Which brought to mind an image my homiletics professor, Bill Hethcock, once talked about with my seminary class. I say talked about. What I mean to say, it was more like a rant at us, which seems fair. He said, and I wish I could do Bill's accent, he said that Jesus had a strong center and core, so strong that he didn't have to protect it with some outer hard shell to keep the world out. On the outside, he was soft and always open and vulnerable. He saw the world around him, and especially the people around him, and loved it all with a holy, healing love. Bill said, too often, we don't live that way. Instead, we make our outer shell hard and impenetrable because we believe our center is fragile and must be protected. That's hogwash, Bill yelled at us. We are disciples of Jesus, or are supposed to be. How's God supposed to use you people with a hard outer shell? He will keep your strong center, literally, for Christ's sake. You keep your outside open and soft like Jesus. Bill didn't see that as negotiable. He was telling us to be awake. Sleepers, wake. A little over 10 years ago, my wife Emmy and I traveled to Tanzania. We were there to see how our parish could contribute to a ministry called the Carpenter's Kids. It was a ministry that had been established by Bishop Mdimi of the Diocese of Central Tanganyika in Tanzania, and it was established to minister to the legions of children in his diocese who had been orphaned by the HIV/AIDS epidemic. In this ministry, parishes here in the U.S. would adopt a parish there and would provide 50 orphan children in the parish with school uniforms, school supplies, and a nourishing breakfast every morning for the next year. Bishop Mdimi said, "This is the only chance they have to survive." One day when we were there, we went to a village to help celebrate the arrival of new school uniforms and supplies and the food resources. And the whole village came out for the festivities. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And the celebration went on for hours and hours through the whole afternoon. There were songs to sing and there were dances to dance. There were formal speeches by everybody from every different little group there. And there were formal greetings given and received. It was amazing. But as we walked back from the open square outside the church where this had happened, I found myself hoping that it would be time to say our goodbyes and head back. I was tired and ready to call it a day. You see, I'm a little bit of an introvert, and I was way past my being with other people portion of the day. But our group of visitors were broken into four smaller groups and told that we would each be taken to someone's house for supper. Emmy and I, with Noel, our translator, were introduced to our hostess, Esther, and we set off along a dusty path. We came to Esther's house, where the meal would be served. The wall of her home were made of mud bricks, and there was a simple stick roof. The room in which we were welcomed was about 8 by 8, and there were woven mats on the ground. We took our places sitting, and our host began to bring in pots of rice and potatoes and chicken. Being tired and craving solitude, I found myself kind of placing a mask on, a sort of shell. A happy, pleasant mask, but a mask, a shell, behind which I sort of hid. But there was something more to it that I did that than merely an introvert's fatigue. As I sat on the mat in that simple home, I thought about that something more, something that had happened just a short while before. Earlier, during the festivities, I had seen a small boy in the crowd. He was sitting off apart from the edges of the crowd, and he was looking right at me. He was looking right at me, staring with nothing between his strong center and me. And for a little while, the celebrating and laughter and noise seemed to fade away, and for just a little while, it was as if it was just he and me. He was small, 5 or 6 years old, with clothes hanging off his small body, and the dust that was everywhere had turned his rich, dark skin pale. He was not laughing and clapping like everyone else. He was sitting there quietly, collected, just looking at me, and I at him. And with a kind of electric jolt, I felt a knot in my chest, and I saw him, and he saw me, and we saw each other seeing one another. Looking at one another across a mighty, vast, unbridgeable chasm that suddenly had been bridged. Neither one of us had a hard protective shell on. And then the boy smiled and waved. So it wasn't just an introvert's fatigue. It was that boy's face, his eyes reaching across the dusty square to mine, and a breaking shell, like waking from sleep. The Lord was near. But then I was brought back to our host's home. I noticed a conversation going on. Emmy and the young mother, Esther, were engaged in a lively conversation, and I listened in through the translator, Noel. And do you know what they were talking about? They were talking about being mothers, their kids, fixing meals, looking after the house, keeping everyone on task. Their conversation and laughter was easy and relaxed. I didn't see any distance at all between them. So many differences should have kept them far apart from one another. But there was no distance at all, no hard outer shell separated them from the other. Only being awake to a shared, common humanity. I asked Emmy about it later. I said I was amazed and so moved by it. And she said simply, "David, all women are sisters. Sleepers, wake." Now, maybe it was the dramatically different place we were in. Maybe it was stepping out of the habit and comfort and routine of our normal lives. Maybe it was the electricity of such different kinds of people coming face to face. Or maybe it was simply God's grace. Wherever we are and with whomever we are with, to keep us strong in our core and lead us to keep our outer self soft and open like Jesus. Such grace makes everything different, and God is all in all. Advent is our season of hope for such things as this. We live our lives in sacred time with the knowledge that the Lord is coming. And though not one of us knows when that will be, his coming now into our lives, till he comes completely at the end of all things, gives us hope, always hope. Hope enough to be strong in our core and soft and welcoming on our outside, like him, to be awake in him. Amen.